Welcome to ERN. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are talking with Dr. Shefali Shastri. She is part of a group called the Reproductive Medicine Associates of New Jersey, and they have conducted a study about trends in infertility 2016. It's a survey and a report, and it's really giving us a lot of insights on what is going on in the world of reproductive medicine and how much Americans know about what our options are and how well-educated we are about what it is that we can do to start our families when we're having reproductive challenges. Now, before we continue this conversation, if our listeners want to get more information, where can they find you?
There's a number of places to find me and to find us. First and foremost, I direct you to our website. It's rmanj.com. You can email me directly from our website. You can, there's contact information there. I also have a Facebook page where you can message me. Those are my primary ways to find me.
Thank you. And, you know, if you are struggling with your reproductive health, or you just have, you know, general questions, you're thinking about what your options are, you know, please reach out. You know, we provide you with these resources for a reason. You know, we like to think of it as, you know, we're trying to give you a toolbox so that you can, you know, do what you need to do to live your best life as a working mom. And you know, I want to get back to the questioning about the survey and the things that you learned. I want to talk about genetic testing for a second. We know that more Americans are turning to these tests to learn more about their and their unborn child's genetic makeup. Did the survey find that this is something respondents who are going through IVF would be willing to have performed?
Yeah, absolutely. That was actually a very reassuring finding. Through the survey, we found that these respondents, one, report understanding what PGD is, pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, or in lay terms, people are better at understanding right now what it means to screen an embryo prior to putting it back into the uterus. And people are much more accepting of this type of testing or screening of embryos if they were to be going through IVF. And so what we found is, in terms of the respondents, 90% of women stated they would elect to do this type of screening on embryos, and 76% of males responded that they would be interested in doing this type of screening on embryos prior to an embryo transfer.
Wow, that's high. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, from our standpoint, I think it's one of the hardest concepts to understand is, how come, even if I make an embryo, how come I can't have a baby? How come every embryo that's created is not successful in developing into a live birth? And part of the and that's also, you know, really an enigma for physicians and scientists in the field. You know, since the 1980s, the biggest question has been, how do we improve our success rates? How do we better screen these embryos? How do we, if a woman develops, you know, two or four or six embryos, how do we know which one's going to actually give her the healthy live birth? And so really, it's over the last 15 years that these sort of technologies have taken off, and we're now able to screen embryos to determine, you know, one, how many copies of each chromosome does each embryo have that this couple has developed or that this woman has developed? And, you know, one thing we know is, as a woman gets older, a greater percentage of her embryos will be abnormal. And so rather than trying one at a time, you know, putting back an embryo one at a time, or putting back multiple embryos at one time, hoping that one of them is normal, we can now actually screen the embryo. And that's a general issue or concern with any woman in terms of aging and chromosomal issues. We're also better able to screen embryos for specific single gene disorders. And so something common, or something that many of us know about, is cystic fibrosis. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most common single gene disorders that can affect a baby or that can affect a child. And, you know, it's not just today. It's, you know, really over the last 20 years, we've been able to screen embryos for cystic fibrosis. But the ability to do that and the technology to do that has really become better and better.
It's amazing. Amazing how far we've come. And the fact that this genetic screening is available, it's huge. It's huge. You know, the amount of heartache you're preventing, and, you know, the ability for parents to be able to know, you know, ahead of time, before the whole process is really, you know, complete, that's huge.
No, absolutely. I will tell you, we have so many different types of patients that come to see us. And, you know, in terms of the single gene testing, we have patients or couples that come to see us who are either identified as carriers for a specific disease and knowing, you know, they know that if they have a baby, perhaps 25% of their children could be affected by a single gene disorder or disease. That's very disheartening and that's very scary. And so the fact that we're able to screen these embryos for these single gene disorders is very, very reassuring. You know, we also have those patients who come to see us who maybe started when they're a little bit older to try to get pregnant or who were very young and still ended up, you know, having multiple miscarriages. Mm-hmm. And that's a very fragile patient.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, when I say that, I mean, they're coming to us, they're trying to use the, you know, most advanced technology. It's very disheartening when you replace an embryo, they get pregnant and then they have another miscarriage. And so, you know, from our perspective, genetic screening of the embryos has really opened up a world of opportunity for providers, for patients. We're able to put back a single embryo with equivalent pregnancy success rates, and really have much higher rates of a single healthy pregnancy.
Well, thank you so much for all the work you do and for sharing the results of your survey with us. I can personally say that I know a lot of people who have struggled with fertility, and now I see that, you know, that they've been successful in having their baby and they have these wonderful families. But what they went through in having multiple miscarriages and struggling with trying to, you know, have that second child or have that first child is just heartbreaking. So the strides that you all have made in keeping that from happening to families, it's just beyond a beautiful gift. So thank you so much.
Oh, Bettina, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And I really thank you for partaking in the education for the general population, for people that are looking to conceive.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. And we are done with the show for this week. So thank you so much for joining us. As always, join us on WorkingMother.com for all the latest and greatest. And please hit me up on Facebook or Twitter. I'm at Bettina Bush, BettinaBush, or on Instagram at Bettina Bush Official. I would love to hear what you have to say or what you want to hear on the show. And don't forget, there's no way to be a perfect mom, but there are a million ways to be a good one. We'll see you next week.